although I am in Stamford, Connecticut, high society with the NBC Sports Network, sitting up on a mezzanine looking down on all the people in Indianapolis. This is going to be a great show. Hit the music.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for. He was a high school All-American, a college All-American. He was All-Pro in the NFL. But the thing that he's most proud of is during his show in Muncie, Indiana, he made a woman in the crowd laugh so hard she shit her pants. Ladies and gentlemen, Pat McAfee!
How's it going? It's Tuesday. I have no idea what the date is because I can't move my phone because it's being charged currently. I hope you're having a fantastic day. Thank you so much for listening. This is the Pat McAfee Show. I am Pat McAfee. I'm looking through a FaceTime at a great group of men. They're here. They're fantastic. I'm lucky to call them co-hosts of my show, at Nick Maraldo, at Tactical Diggs, at Todd McComas, and at the Jeff Fibbert. How are you guys doing?
Phenomenal, Pat. How are you?
I'll tell you what. I'm up here with high society up here in Connecticut, boys.
Greenwich.
I drove through Greenwich, Connecticut yesterday, and these are the mean streets. Nick, who's all from here?
The Mean Street Posse?
Yeah.
Shane McMahon and all his boys?
Shane McMahon, Triple H, and that whole group from the mean streets of Greenwich, Connecticut. You drive through there. It honestly, I never knew this had a smell. Like Carmel, Indiana kind of smells like this a little bit, but Greenwich has
money. Does it smell like money?
Just smells like money. You drive, there's just yachts parked everywhere, like on the street even. Like, what the fuck is a yacht doing on the street? Who knows? That is a water animal.
It's because their bigger yacht is already in the water, and then this one's getting worked on.
My other yacht is a bigger yacht. That's like those, there's people that have those bumper stickers that are like, my other car's an airplane or whatever.
Yeah.
That started in Greenwich, Connecticut, I'm pretty sure. This has been pretty cool, though. They were very nervous for me going on the air yesterday morning. If you don't know, I'm on Pro Football Talk, NBC Sports Network, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of this week. If you haven't listened or watched, whatever, I don't really care. I mean, it's their ratings, not mine. But it is a really cool show, and they're really nice people. They're letting me on TV. But there was definitely some moment of panic right before the show started.
No swearing, though. You're good.
I felt real good about that. I was really proud of me, guys.
Hey, did you pick that costume out, or did they pick that out for you? Because it was good. It was a good costume.
Thank you. Bought it at Target. The whole thing was bought at Target last night.
Of course.
Always.
Yeah,
oh.
it was bought at Target the night before because they told me if you're going to wear a T-shirt, you have to wear a coat, like a jacket.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to Target, found the pink shirt, and then I found that jacket literally right next to it. It's the only jacket in Target. So
nice blue blazer.
It was a nice little blue blazer. It was Mr. Rogers-y.
I figured they would have a girl there with the whole wardrobe to dress you.
Oh, is that what you think? No makeup here either.
No makeup.
That was all Pat that you saw on TV today. I was banking 1,000% on a great makeup lady making me look smoking hot for the TV. No makeup. No makeup. People here are very nice.
I like that. Salt of the earth.
Yeah. I mean, I'll wear makeup, though. I'm not scared to get a spray tan. You guys know that?
Yep.
Absolutely.
Didn't get a spray tan. Just got this Irish Majestic Red kick in right now. Feel good about it all from the Indy 500 making me beautiful. How's Indianapolis? What am I missing? It is hot as fuck up here.
Yeah, it's hot as fuck here, too. I got something you're missing.
What is it?
Happening in Indianapolis. Paul George is saying that he's leaving.
Oh, yeah. I saw videos of people burning his jersey.
Already?
People burning Paul George's jersey. Like, Jesus, what do you want from the guy?
I'm so tired of the jersey burning thing. It's so overplayed.
I'm so tired of Pacer fans. I mean, Jesus Christ. The guy wants to win. He wants to go be a winner.
Well, he's going to the Lakers. They don't fucking win.
He's got a better chance than here.
Hold on, though. I think I was talking to my Uber driver on the way in. Okay, it was a Honda Civic. He used to hoop back in the day for the University of Arkansas. I talked to him about Dardanelle, actually. I told him, I said, hey, you ever go down Dardanelle? And he's like, nah, man, I didn't go down Dardanelle. I'm like, you missed out on a great time. Good people down there. We know a guy down there. We know the guy in Dardanelle, Arkansas. Great guy. He called in the middle of...
Yeah, also, if you could quit tell him to quit calling in the middle of our fucking shows.
I kind of love it. It's like a new gimmick. Like, yeah. John Daly just calls in. But anyway.
Yeah, hold on for a second. Diggs, why don't you tell John Daly to quit fucking calling into our shows? Are you going to be the guy that tells him to quit calling in?
Do you want John Daly to stop calling in? I don't. I hope the guy calls me forever. Yeah. All the time.
John, call whenever he wants.
He sent me a picture, by the way, of his pool bathroom.
They cleaned it up.
It's all cleaned up.
They cleaned it up.
It's renovated. It's all ready to go. Since the Cadillac 3 talks shit on that, whatever, he called. But anyways, I was talking to my Uber driver, okay, and we got into a deep conversation. The only way you can win in the NBA is if you are a destination city or you have LeBron. It's one or the other. You have to be a destination city. It has to be a big city, or you have to have LeBron. That's it. Paul George wants to win. I can respect that. He's from L.A., so I can respect that. But goddamn, why would you announce it a year before you're leaving? Like, that's not a good PR move at all, especially in Indiana. Like,
is that him or is that the team? That's got to be the team, right?
No, he said it.
Oh, he just came out and said it. The team didn't, like, leak it or it wasn't.
Maybe he was being a nice guy, so he's telling the team they're leaving so they have a year to trade him if they want to try to get something back.
I think he wants traded immediately.
Yeah, he's trying to get out immediately is why he's doing it now.
Yeah.
God damn. Everybody's saying he's going to go to the Cavaliers for a year.
Boy.
Well, I'm of the mindset, as long as the Pacers can get something for him, do it.
Yeah,
that's
good
the
idea.
Thing. If they use this wisely, yes, but
I know it sucks for the fans, but you can't let a guy like that leave for nothing.
They're saying Kevin
I feel
Love.
Like you got to get something out of that.
They're saying potential Kevin Love coming. Which would be, Indiana would love, Tyler Hansborough was a Pacer, that guy would love. Kevin Love is an athletic Tyler Hansborough. He would be loved in Indiana. You get a couple other players around. People are saying that Paul George is going to Cleveland for Kevin Love coming to Indiana.
Well.
When I lived downtown, Hansborough was my neighbor, and he almost hit me with his car.
He's got to be a terrible driver. Yeah. That guy can barely walk.
He probably drives the same way he goes through the lane. Just fucking
just smashing things out of his way.
What was his nickname?
Psycho T.
Psycho T, thank you.
I just thought of Psycho T. driving a car like he does driving the lane and just bouncing off the cars off the side of the street. Bang, 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 bang. And then getting to the rim and completely not knowing how to shoot a basketball. But somehow be the college player of the year and play in the NBA for a couple of years because of grit. Grit.
The most grit probably ever. Him and Danny Woodhead. Probably.
Good hustle.
God, he's the grittiest human on earth. Grittiest human on earth. But I don't know why. I mean, the NBA is a whole different ballgame, dude. It's a whole different ballgame. There's no parity.
It's probably the least parody sport that you have, even with baseball, and there's no salary cap there. You can spend whatever you want, but basketball is somehow the least.
I was excited. That's because there's 147 games or whatever in baseball. Who knows what the fuck's going to happen? I thought you were going to use the word paradise.
I was struggling to find the plural form of parody.
I'll tell you what, the NBA has got to be the least paradised league. I was told to stay on topic a little bit more this morning on Pro Football Talk.
I thought that you, what were you asked about something? And you went like, oh, it was Eric Decker. And you went into where he was from, where his wife was from, where the fuck, everything. You went on the NHL playoffs. It was hysterical.
Have they never listened to this podcast before asking you to come on?
No way. No, but he, like, on the way out, very nice. I'm telling you, these people are incredibly nice up here. I did not expect these people to be this nice. All right, I'm being serious. TV people, I normally just feel like they're all snobs. They think they invented the earth, blah, blah, blah. But these people up here are so nice. And afterwards, the guy... He's the producer. He's a really cool dude, man. Like, very, you can tell he's got a big brain on him, right? Uh-huh. And he just starts, like, talking to me. He's like, man, good stuff. We enjoyed your stories. And he said, just a couple things to think about for tomorrow. And he goes on, he says, try to stick to a topic. I've heard that it's a little bit of a mental workout to keep up with everything I'm saying. He's like, yeah, we like it a little bit, but just stay a little bit more on topic. Because TV, we're quick, you know, boom, boom. I was like, okay, you got it.
Yeah, dude, tell you what, you guys came back from commercial, did like a 30-second segment, and then went back to commercial.
I've never in my life been a part, because the lady's in my ear, voice of God, right?
Oh.
Got a voice of God in my left ear. And you I think you could actually see it, because the first time she did it, my eyes got big. It was like she was telling me to shut up. She was like 30 seconds, and I'm like, oh, fuck, I have no idea how much I can speak in 30 seconds, so I just stopped and let Mike talk. Mm-hmm. But it's been really cool to kind of watch this all unfold behind the scenes. Really nice people. And Mike Florio is so cool. He called me last night before the show started and was like, hey, man, you have any questions? Blah, blah, blah. Let's do this, this. It's just been an overwhelmingly positive experience at the studio. I had to change hotels, though.
Did he enjoy you sending Greeks into Canada?
Oh, what a great trade, by the way.
Yeah, but what does Canada get out of it?
Who cares? Well, they get an ex-NFL GM in the CFL. A little bit of legitimacy up there.
Yeah.
You know?
Wrong.
Just a little. So let's talk about this hotel.
Just a little.
The accommodations.
So they put me... So what I've learned is Stamford, Connecticut doesn't have the greatest hotel selection. So they put me up in a hotel up here, and it was all sold out. Okay? It's kind of like Dardanelle experience. I feel like people don't think I'm actually coming until I get here, and then it's like a full scramble. Oh, my God, we got to figure this the fuck out. So they basically put me in this hotel, and I brought my lady with me. I don't know if I told them I was going to bring my lady with me or not, but I brought my lady with me, and they had a room. The only room left in this entire hotel was a double, two doubles.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I'm saying? So there, you get hotel options as a king and two doubles. Two double beds would have been fine. I get there, very, very small room. This is a tiny room, and my lady, Sam, is not working, so she would have had to be in this hotel room if she's not out and about in the neighborhood. So we get in this room, we check in this room, I look at her face, and it's like a big, nope. I look at her, I'm like, oh, shit. So I start calling around, I call down the main desk, I'm like, do you guys have any rooms, like maybe with just like a king-size bed in it, or maybe even a queen bed would be good. And they're like, oh, no, we're booked, sorry. I'm like, holy fuck, Stamford, Connecticut's got it going on. I had to call three different hotels, found another one. Now we moved in. NBC Sports is like, we'll pick up the tab for that. Sorry about that. Sorry they only had one room left in there. Da, da, da. I said, no worries. So now I'm in this king suite, living like king of the castle, king of the castle.
And, nice.
And most importantly, guess who's happy?
Sam.
That is all that matters. 1,000% the only thing that matters is Sam is happy.
You did say happy wife, happy life a few times yesterday as well.
Well, every conversation led back to that. Literally, and they said that to me, by the way. They said, you went to the well with happy wife, happy life. I said, well, every fucking conversation revolved around that. But they're 100% right. TV, though, is an interesting ballgame, man. Because those hard outs, I don't like podcasting, we just get to have a good time and chit-chat, whatever we want to do. We in our Live at 9 show that we do every Wednesday night, this Wednesday, Adam Vinatieri will be our guest. Last week, John Daly was our guest, gave us some magical pieces of nuggets. We have no rules, guys. We have no rules.
JD awesome. Kind of brought that up as I was sitting there. We were watching the show before he came on, and he said, man, he really just goes up there and just talks about whatever he wants, huh? Doesn't give a fuck. Said, nope, this is just kind of how we do it.
Yeah, there's no rules. And we are the future, obviously, until the government decides to crack down on us.
Mm-hmm.
But TV is old school. They got all these rules, FCC. The FCC won't let me be or let me be me, so let me see. They try to cut me out on MTV, but feel so empty without me. That's mm-hmm. great.
Not bad. Mm-hmm. I'm impressed.
Thank you
remembered that.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Wow, old Eminem was the best.
There's a new show on HBO with him and Dre and a few other of the old school hip hop artists coming out that looks awesome.
What's it called?
It's literally off the top of my head, so I couldn't tell you, but it looks good.
Is it like somebody playing him or
No, it's like a documentary type style.
Oh, I saw the cover for it like on my cable on the on demand. I didn't know.
Like of them now, or is this old footage? Is what's going on?
It's
here?
Old footage, but them now talking.
The defiant ones.
The defiant ones. Thank you, Vibs.
Oh, like a voiceover type thing?
No, like they're sitting down being interviewed, like a documentary type, like a 60 Minutes type thing.
Just reflecting back on the good old days?
Yeah.
I'll watch that for sure.
Remember, like it was yesterday, just a couple years ago. Something, 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 get in the booth, straight smoke.
Oh, it's Jimmy Iovine, Dr. Dre, all the Interscope guys and Aftermath guys.
Correct.
Just kind of talking about how they made it big. Interesting.
You know what I enjoy?
What's that, Pat?
I just got a text from my neighbor asking me if I'm home. I'm not. Is somebody in my house?
Oh, Jesus.
Guys, who's in my fucking house? Are you guys in my house?
No, we're not.
I'm not.
I blame Midas.
Midas, little update, Majestic Manor never got back to me, sent me an email saying, hey, we heard what you said about our dog on your podcast. We'd like to make it right. I said, oh, that's awesome. Because Midas is a beautiful dog. Majestic Manor creates beautiful dogs. We all agree, right?
Beautiful-looking dog.
Dumbest fucking animal I've ever seen in my life, but beautiful dog. Majestic Manor, if you want a beautiful dog, go to Majestic Manor. And I'm assuming Midas wasn't their best dog. That's why they put him up for an auction.
Right.
Anyways, so we reached out to him, never heard back, but we were leaving town, so I said to Sam, I said, hey, instead of, like, boarding Midas, why don't we send him to, like, a two-year training school?
Like a prep school?
Yeah.
2 years?
At least 10 years, maybe. It's like giving him away, but not really. You're making him better. You feel like a good person. But, yeah, so we put him in training for 2 weeks, for the next 2 weeks, because after this week, I'll be on vacation starting after next Tuesday's podcast. I'll be on an island. It's my first break since training camp of last year. I'm real excited for it. But, yeah, we put him up in the training camp. He's going into boot camp. We had to check him in, and we had to fill out all the things that we want them to fix.
Yeah.
It was a fucking 4-page essay I wrote.
Nice.
Everything. Fix everything.
Everything. What? Okay, yeah, I don't want him to shit on.
Is that considered a strongly worded letter to Majestic Manor? Because I'm a big fan of strongly worded letters.
Write them all the time.
No, I think our podcast was a strongly worded podcast about them. But they do. They're good people. They create beautiful dogs. They never got back to me about training them, but they're good people, I think. But Midas is currently in boot camp. I guess our water's out at my house right now. No fucking water.
How would your neighbor know that? Oh, never mind.
Oh, my God. How are you that stupid? Todd.
Yes.
How old are you?
46 as of Sunday.
Happy birthday, by the way. Thanks. And happy Father's Day. We appreciate the hell out of what you bring to our show.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
In your 46 years of living.
Yep.
Have you ever met somebody as smart as Diggs is, say, as dumb as shit?
I've not. This Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde thing that goes on with his brain, where in the same sentence, he can go from the smartest guy in the room to the dumbest guy on the planet.
He just flips that switch. He
I
goes
don't know
from
what happens.
Genius to village idiot in no time. And it's a talent. I don't think people appreciate the talent that is enough.
Trust me, my fucking brain has no idea why it happens either. It's just short circuits sometimes. A lot going on up there.
Short circuit.
The best part is it's not a gimmick. It's not an on-air thing.
It's
24/7,
Nick
folks.
Nick gets to witness it all the time.
It's real.
He sees me like... I'll just blank out middle watching TV in a conversation and be like, what the fuck is going on with you? I don't know. Shit happens.
But it's enjoyable. I will let you know that this is the text I just got.
Yeah.
Our hot water is brown, and it appears that the lines have been flushed, but the water company has no information and has no clue why our water is brown. Midas. This is definitely Midas. I don't know how to tell them that my dog did that.
Are you on city water?
I am, yeah.
Huh.
You know what? I had a well at one of my houses.
Yeah, how was that?
Fucking nightmare.
Yeah, it's a nightmare.
The shit that comes out of there.
No, it's not. It's really good water. It's just whenever it stops working.
Yeah.
Dicks. When it stops working, you got to call a well company. You got to go into the well. It's a night. You have no reason why. You can't just flip the switch and turn it back on because it's earth.
Mm. Is there not a well at your current house too? Down by the barn?
Yeah, I don't know what that water's from. I have no idea. I don't think it's a well. Is it a well?
I think that's what your dad was saying one day, because when we were in there setting up the wrestling ring, there were all the switches and all the electrical boxes that we were playing with trying to get the lights to come on, right?
Yeah.
And we started hitting all those, and I walked outside, and all of a sudden water was pumping out of those pipes you have out back, and it wasn't before. And Tim was like, I think there's a well over here, and I think this is pulling from that well.
Oh.
So is y'all motherfucker. That water has not stopped. That water is still just dripping in my backyard.
Yeah, it was a little leaky. We tried, but.
Mm. There's only ever ghosts or little girls in wells. I don't fuck with wells.
Sometimes they're one and the same.
Yeah, I don't fuck with them.
Yeah. Make a wish. I wish this couple things girl wasn't in here.
You don't buy a house with a well or on an Indian burial ground.
Mm hmm.
Or underneath a large sycamore tree. Those are my three rules for buying.
Why a sycamore tree?
Not sure. Just came to me.
All right. All right. Okay.
You know, I went to a town where they had a hanging tree. Did I ever tell you about that?
That's
okay,
why.
Well.
That's why.
Yeah, it was like in the middle. They're like, oh, go down to the hanging tree. And I was like,
no.
What did you just call it? They're like, oh, that's the old hanging tree. Like,
the hanging out tree, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's something we should be.
It's where you hang your rope swing from.
If it's from the cowboy days, I'm for it. Like the Wild West.
Yeah, yeah. When you hang out and you eat an apple with a knife.
Yeah, a guy steals a horse, he gets hung, right?
Oh.
I'm okay with those hanging trees.
You're talking about white people also.
Yeah.
That's what you were mentioning right there?
Right, yeah.
Oh, I got it. Okay.
Those hanging trees are cool.
And shouldn't it be hanged trees?
Yeah, it is hanged when someone's past tense.
I'm hung, trees are hung.
Yes. Yeah.
Pat, we got to give you a big thank you from all the interns for Friday night.
Jesus Christ.
You bought that $1,000 tab at Kilroy's Bar and Grill downtown Indianapolis and from 8 to 10, and it was gone in 47 minutes.
I was getting a lot of tweets from civilians that were not a part of Barstow Heartland, but boy, they saw you guys.
Seriously?
Yeah. I was getting pictures from said owner of Kilroy's of you guys, text messages saying, it appears as if your group is having fun, and then like an hour later it was like, it appears as if your group has overstayed their welcome.
That's no lie.
But I was very happy. Live at 9 was a success, and it was a complete team effort. I was happy I could do that for you guys. I wish I could have made it. I wish I could have made
we
it.
We wish you could have, too. Everybody killed it, but they wanted to say thank you from the bottom of their heart. They had a blast. It just helps, you know? That's a good bus. That helps keep people motivated.
I didn't have fun that night because everyone abandoned me at one point. Like, Diggs left, Nick left, Todd left. I was playing skee ball alone at 3 o'clock in the morning.
He was. At one point, I looked over the corner. He was just killing skee ball. And I'm like, there's two girls that are talking to me, and he's over there just killing skee ball.
Wait a minute.
I spent $40 on skee ball that night. That's not an exaggeration.
So hold on. Let's go back. Todd just did a little humble.
Yeah,
brag. He did.
Yeah, he did.
Todd just did a little bragging there and just wanted to drop it and just kind of keep it moving. Todd, you were doing a little balancing act?
Well, they were just talking. They were talking to me because Vibs was ignoring them and playing skee ball.
Vibs, what did you say your line was that Todd said to them?
What?
Do you remember?
Mm-mm.
Don't want to say it on air?
Nope.
Todd was juggling women around that night like a clown riding a unicycle, just trying to keep up.
It was definitely one of those moments like in New York. I was out of my head, Pat.
We all were.
Just out of my head.
Well, that's good. That's what the $1,000 bar tab is supposed to be.
Yeah. I got home at like 5:30 in the morning, and I was literally destroyed. As drunk as I've ever been, and I had to get up at 9, see my dad and pick him up to go golf. And I was so hungover that I had the shakes real bad, you know? So I was scared. I was like, I got to shave my neck because I can be presentable for going over there. But my hands are real shaky. No problem, man. Not a single nick. It was such a smooth shave because I made the smarter choice.
Hold on. Dollar Shave Club. Hold the fuck on. Although I'm in a different state, I want to stop this for a moment. I don't know how Dollar Shave Club is going to feel about you drinking your way through Father's Day, both for your dad and your son. I want to let you know that. But I respect the fact that even shaky hands, you're in a good spot.
That's how good the razor is.
Yep.
You could be a horrible person and get drunk the day before Father's Day and be shaky, but still be presentable when you show up because it's a safe shave. It's that smooth. Get a great shave at a great price. Conveniently delivered right to your door. Other razor companies deliver too, but as we know, you get an inferior razor with an inferior shave. When I use Dollar Shave Club's executive razor with their Dr. Carver shave butter, the blade just gently glides across my face and neck like Tebow's bat glides through the night sky of unsuspecting fans. Listen, there is one word that describes Dr. Carver's shave butter. It's the same word that the Kardashian kids use to describe Caitlyn Jenner. Transparent. That means you can see through it and you get a more precise shave. You too can make the smarter choice by joining Dollar Shave Club. For a limited time, new members get their first month of executive razor with the tube of their Dr. Carver shave butter for only $5. That's a $15 value for only $5. After your first month, replacement cartridges ship automatically at the regular price. There's no hidden fees, no commitments. Cancel it anytime you like. You can only get this offer exclusively at DollarShaveClub.com/America. That's DollarShaveClub.com/America.
Gosh, I love Dollar Shave Club. I absolutely love them. They're an incredible product. They are game-changing. They're trailblazers. And they support our show. So that means a lot. That means they got big old guts.
They do got big old guts.
Talked about Eric Decker on Pro Football Talk going back to the Titans.
Yes, you did. 1-year contract.
a little prove-it contract. They got a bunch of TVs on all around me, by the way. We should think about doing this in our
studio. For sure.
I'm staring at no less than 7 TVs right now. Just something to think about for us. There are 7 TVs staring at me right now.
Probably not a lot going on a Tuesday morning on TV over there.
There is, give or take, plus or minus, 13,000 people that work in this building.
Really?
No. It does seem, this place used to be like Clairol, I think is what it's called, Herbal Essence and all them. You ever heard of this?
Oh.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they had the, were they the ones with the shampoo commercials where the chicks were basically orgasming in the shower?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Very controversial at its time.
Yeah, them.
Yes, them.
So they used to, I guess this was their warehouse before, and like 5 years ago, NBC Sports bought it, and this is a gigantic building that they've just turned into a beautiful place. This place is beautiful.
Is it like their headquarters?
Yeah, this is NBC Sports headquarters right here, Stamford, Connecticut.
Wow.
But there's a lot of TV companies located in Connecticut. There has to be some gigantic tax cut up here.
I bet you're right.
Yeah, because ESPN's there too.
And WWE's up here.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be some sort of, for entertainment or studio or production of some sort, some tax benefit. Maybe we should move Barstool Heartland to Connecticut.
Get a big tax break.
I don't even know what that means. Do we get tax breaks? I don't think we do.
Yeah.
Have we paid taxes yet?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think we have to pay them.
Is that right?
Exempt, yeah.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
we're exempt.
Yeah.
You have to be making money to pay taxes.
You're right. Who's paying taxes to me for all the money that I'm fucking spending? That's what I want to know. Who's paying me taxes? That'll be good. Speaking of paying, Barstool, Michael Rappaport just joined.
Yeah, that was a big announcement. Michael Rappaport has joined Barstool Sports.
Yeah, that's huge, right? That's a pretty big move.
Yeah. He's a pretty famous dude.
Pretty hilariously
pretty
famous dude.
Yeah, he's in with the big three, the Ice Cube thing.
He is, isn't he?
Yeah, he's like all in. He's like the main mouthpiece of that whole thing.
Have you seen the commercial for that yet?
No, is Steven Jackson in it?
No. It's like some dude benching, and then they show a 4-point line, and it's Ice Cube just like talking in a dark room.
What?
Yeah. They show AI a little bit.
Allen Iverson's in it?
Oh, yeah.
Holy.
Oh, they do. They show Chauncey Billups, too. There's some decent play.
Allen Iverson is in the big three?
Yeah.
He's going to dominate that, right?
I don't know anything about
it. How hard are they going to try?
I think there's $1 million on the line.
Oh, really?
To the winning team?
Yeah. I think they're all getting $1 million.
Wow.
That's not a fact. I mean, that was just something I could have possibly heard on the internet at some point. I'm not sure. But if Allen Iverson's playing 3-on-3, that's something I want to watch. Steven Jackson, too, a friend of the show.
As long as it doesn't come off like a charity game or something where they're just raining threes and just being having fun.
There's a 4-point line. They're going to be raining threes.
Fours. Fucking idiot.
Well, you don't like Rock and Jock, MTV, Celebrity Basketball?
No.
Do you
want them to go after it?
It's going to be like the Pro Bowl.
Yeah,
you don't want it to be like the Pro Bowl. I don't think it's going to be like the Pro Bowl, though, because if you watch Steven Jackson on his IG, all those retired players who still want to play, they go to LA Fitness and just dominate folks. They're definitely going to be super competitive. I think it's going to be real, 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 especially if there's $1 million up for grabs.
Yeah, that would change the dynamic, so I hope it's that way.
I like how Todd's biggest worry was, I don't want them having fun.
Hey, speaking of, this is a segment on our show, speaking of not having any fun, that we are very lucky to have. We have a guy who gave up his career to join us and chit-chat about life and talk about retired NBA players not having any fun. He was a 21-year state trooper, both as a detective and on the street for a couple years. He was a Marine. He's retired. This is something that I love to chit-chat about to my friends because this is a real advantage our show has. A lot of people bash the cops, and that makes sense because some cops make terrible decisions and do dumb shit. But a large majority of cops are good people, and this guy is one of them. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to go.
Behind the Badge. Behind the Badge.
stories or questions?
I love that you just set them up for this.
Yeah, I got a story. This just came up the other day, so that's kind of fresh in my mind.
I have questions, too, whenever you're done with your story.
Okay, cool. So one of the things that I made sure I wanted to accomplish in my career before I got out was like to work a bank robbery, like solve a bank robbery, catch a bank robber.
Yeah.
Just because those are like the best scenes in all movies, right? Bank robbery scenes. So I got to do a few of them, and probably my favorite one was this dude named Lloyd Martin. He had a bank real close in Shelby County, Indiana, right? In my home county. And at first we didn't know who did it, but we had surveillance video, and he was wearing a hat or whatever. But I sent off to parole. My first step was to go to federal parole, and I asked them, hey, will you send me photos and information on any parolees you have in our area that were released recently for bank robbery?
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, yeah, we only have three. So they sent them to me. I look at the photos. Obviously, boom, it's this guy. It's Lloyd, right? It's obviously him. I mean, he looks so much like him. So I'm like, okay, no problem. So now we got a suspect. And I look back in the history. I'm like, this person sounds like they were familiar with this bank in particular. So I look up in his history. He hit this bank three times before.
And got caught?
Yeah, he got caught on his third time, the same bank. It changed names, so I didn't catch it right away, but same bank. So I'm like, okay.
That's easy.
Trying to find him. Can't find him anywhere. I could find he was a gay guy, so I found his former boyfriend. And I went there, and that's where he's supposed to be living, according to parole. And he says, no, man, he left. And the last thing he said when he took off out the door is, I can't make it out here. I got to go back, so I'm just going to go burn it up until they catch me. And I'm like, oh, he's definitely
that's
our
awesome.
Guy. Yeah, definitely our guy.
Good
so
idea.
He hits it a second time. Same bank.
New name?
Gets loads of money.
New name this time? They changed the name of the bank?
No, so he kept the name. But they hits the bank again, and I go to the bank, and I'm like, man, you guys got to change your policy. You have way too much money that the cashier can go back and get. They have full access to the vault. That's bad. And do you use bait stuff, like, you know, exploding dye packs or anything? And they're like, no, we think it's dangerous. We don't want to be scared. They want to get the pissed and then come back and shoot everybody. So I'm like, well, it doesn't work that way. You know, I was like, you got to get it. So I talked him into getting the dye pack. And the dye pack operates like you get a certain distance from the sensor, which is inside the bank. It explodes, right?
Yeah.
And puts a blue dye all over the money. And I didn't know this, releases CS gas.
Dangerous.
Tear gas.
It's dangerous.
Yeah. So I got... That'll be important later. So I sit up on this bank for days and doing my own surveillance. I'm like, I'm going to catch this guy. Because in the video, and from what the witnesses, the tellers would say, was when he would walk out, he would just go immediately and open his door. Like, he didn't unlock it, and it was running. The car. So he'd leave his car running locked so he could get easy access and out.
Yeah.
So I'm like, dude, I'm going to sit up at this vet's office that's right across from this bank. And when I see him go inside, I am going to sneak up and go to his car and lock it and take the keys. So when he comes out, he's locked out of his
such
car.
Such a prankster.
Right?
What a cop move.
Yeah. Don't stop him before he goes into danger, people. Let's fucking steal his keys.
We'll get him on the way out.
Yeah, he could have a gun. He said, I want to burn it down and do it.
So that was going to be like my making the flag disappear after scoring a touchdown as a punter. Like, that would have been my big day, right?
You should have moved the car to the other side of the building, maybe.
So I'm waiting,
Ship it
waiting.
To Montana. Go ahead. I'm sorry. It's on me.
Saran wrap it. Just wrap it and bubble wrap.
That would have been so awesome.
Saran wrap it in my car.
See, I needed you guys on my team.
Yeah.
We can.
So anyway, I set up surveillance. The guy does not hit. And finally, like, my wife's about to divorce me because I haven't been home in like 3 weeks. So I'm like, all right. I call my buddy Louie, and I'm like, Louie, I know you got a marked car, but I need you to sit behind the vet's office and watch this bank. And just you can hide. Just sit there. I have everybody on board. This time they're going to hit the alarm button. He has a dye pack, all that stuff. But I got to go home. My wife's going to divorce me, so I can't watch it this afternoon. And he was like, okay, no problem. So what happens? The one day I go home. Lloyd shows up at the bank. And they do everything right this time. They hit the alarm. They give him the dye pack. He leaves, pulls out, and you can see from my buddy Louie's dash cam, he pulls out from the vet's office, and it's just like right off the interstate, right off this overpass, this little small town. So it's a narrow road, and Louie just blocks the road, gets out like Wyatt Earp and just draws his gun and starts walking down the middle of the street at this car that's coming after him. And then the car stops, and you see over Louis' shoulder the windshield of the car. Blue paint all over the windshield. Lloyd pulls his Lloyd weighs like 380 pounds. He pours his fat ass out of the side and he's snots everywhere. He's dripping because the CS gas hit him, so he's dying. So we get him back to the jail, checked in. I'm going through his car before I interview him, and there is probably 18 to 20 McDonald's cheeseburgers in a bag in his back seat.
Uneaten.
So I go to Lloyd after the interview and I go, Lloyd, what's the deal with the cheeseburgers? And he goes, well, every time I hit this bank, I drive straight to Bowling Green, Kentucky. That's like a 3.5 hour drive. I get hungry in about 45 minutes. So he would just eat cheeseburgers the whole way there. He needed that many to keep him going. Yeah.
The burger incredible. Bandit.
Yeah, the Hamburglar.
I have a question.
Uh-huh.
So did you ask Lloyd why he didn't choose to use any other banks? Like, why was that his only bank he go to? Just because he knew it so well?
He knew they had a bad policy. Like, they allowed vault access to the cashiers. It wasn't on a time release, you know?
Yeah.
Where they can only access at a certain time of day and require a manager to do it. So... yeah, he was smart. Like he was pulling. Like
was he smart?
Well,
was
he?
He got himself 18 burgers, Nick. He is smart. He got himself 18 burgers for a 3.5 hour trip. Follow up to the follow up.
Uh huh.
Why are there any surveillance cameras these days? Every time the news shows me a surveillance camera, it's like a shot of Bigfoot. It's all blurry.
It's fucking terrible.
The person's face is literally right there. If the camera wasn't like. It's like two HD. Like it's like I have no idea what's wrong with the camera. They're so bad. Why are the cameras so bad? Why are surveillance cameras so bad?
Here's why they're so bad. It's a behind the scenes knowledge. That's a good question. Because stores are lazy and they try to save money. So the higher quality setting your system is set for, the more storage it uses, which requires you to buy more backup drives and all this stuff. So they set it on the lowest quality setting possible to extend the life of that hard drive. Is that not the stupidest thing you've ever heard? Because some of them have really nice systems, like Walmart has a really high dollar system, but they always had it set in the lowest quality, and they put the cameras away up in that tall roof, so all they do is shoot the top of people's heads. Right? You can't see any faces.
It's literally like Bigfoot.
That's a good lesson for you to learn, Patrick, because once this studio gets built, you're going to run into the same issue.
That studio ain't fucking getting built. That thing ain't ever getting finished. You know what I know. It's going to be a beautiful, unfinished studio for at least 10 years. Another follow-up to the follow-up to a follow-up.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever seen a movie Inside Man?
Yes, love it.
Why doesn't everybody do that?
Sounds like I asked that fucking question.
It's real, no dicks. I know.
I've seen it.
I watch that movie and I'm like, holy fuck. Because this is what I think, and I've said this aloud a couple times. Like, if I ever come up with a great plan to become a bank robber, I'm just going to make a movie about it and make the money legally.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Inside Man was definitely the creation of some guy who wanted to rob a bank. He was like, fuck, I got this idea to rob a bank. And then his friends are like, oh, you shouldn't do that, though.
Right.
And then somebody, Spike Lee, somehow talked him into just making a movie. And Inside Man happened. Bam, bam, boom. But Inside Man would definitely work, would it not?
I think so. I mean,
I loved it.
I think that's the problem with any criminal that gets caught is lack of planning and resources devoted to getting away with the crime. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's always the dumbest plan possible, the most simple plan possible. And, of course, you're going to get caught.
Will Smith was really good in that movie.
You know what? I think we should make a movie about a bank robber.
Let's not go down this path again.
Yes.
I think we should make a movie about a bank robbery. And hear me out here.
Okay.
The lead character's name is Wilson.
Okay.
And mm-hmm. it's a ball.
No one would suspect a ball.
No, it's a volleyball, I think, maybe with a like a turkey. You know how you make a turkey when you're a child? You like outline your hand
mm-hmm.
like a turkey?
Yep.
That's like his face on the ball. His name will be Wilson. And he'll rob a bank.
Yep, I like it.
It's a good start.
I think so, too. I think we're off to a good start. Anybody else want to help out with this idea?
Well, we still haven't got any funding for our last one, but let's go with this one. So how would you put the turkey on the ball? Blood?
Nah. Seems like people have done that before.
Is it a soccer ball?
No, it's a volleyball.
Oh, it's a volleyball.
Mm.
Yeah.
What if Tom Hanks ran this ball?
Oh, Tom Hanks, good idea. Across
the country.
Oh, and then turned around and ran back.
And then threw it at the bank.
Or what if it's two Top Gun pilots in school?
Oh.
And they're...
Who would...
They're spiking...
Oh, they're spiking the Wilson. Volleyball.
Yeah.
And then
their shirts off, so that's distracting
to the bank
tellers.
And then he gets caught and goes to prison and has to do the warden's taxes to get out.
Yeah.
And I think whenever Wilson gets out after he's spiked, after the handshake that the spiker does with his friend, I think Wilson rolls out of like a shit sewer and he like celebrates, and then he goes to a tree in Mexico.
To a tree in Mexico.
Yeah.
And underneath that tree is unobtainium.
Nope, that was in the last movie.
Shit.
Yeah, you can't.
Underneath this tree, hold on, underneath this tree is a Lion King. And it's played by Harambe.
Oh, yeah, we use Harambe.
Or Cecil.
How about this? Cecil? We put Cecil and Harambe.
Harambe
in the same
and
movie.
Cecil.
Yeah, because last time we had Heath and Paul Walker. This time it's Harambe and Caesar.
Bring them both.
Cecil.
And maybe Caesar too.
Caesar. Harambe
Julius,
and Caesar. It's
Julius
like a
Caesar.
Yeah.
Cecil is Julius Caesar's pet.
I think Wilson is also born out of the stomach.
And Julius Caesar has a really good friend who was a war general, but then he got taken as a slave, and then he had to win his freedom as a gladiator.
Yeah, and Wilson's definitely from outer space, and he busts out of Sigourney Weaver's stomach, like you're saying, Pat.
And the guy that pulled him out of his stomach was Caesar, so they called it a
C-section.
Yeah.
Yep.
Exactly what happened.
Cesarean, I believe it's called.
Cesarean section. Yeah, that's what we'll call it because the guy's name is Caesar.
Yeah.
But I think that's a good bank robbing movie.
I think it's a great bank robbery.
Wilson lives in the bank, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Totally.
Yeah,
for sure.
In a security deposit box.
Yeah.
Oh, not a bad idea there. With probably some Nazi money or something like that.
Nazi money, a bunch of fake passports, a gun, several different forms of currency.
Mm-hmm. And diamonds.
Yeah, and they all say Jason Bourne on them.
Oh, and are the diamonds...
They're bloody.
Are they bloody?
Yeah, they're bloody. Mm-hmm.
Definitely bloody. Leonardo DiCaprio was...
He took a boat, and
yeah, he was down
It turns
there.
Out Leo's best friend is actually the best friend of Russell Crowe's...
Did Leo take a boat, though?
No, that would have wrecked, probably. I wouldn't take a boat with Leo. And they sure as hell wouldn't fit on the same fucking door as a fucking 5'3" girl.
Rose, liar, fucking liar. But I think... every time Leo goes to all these award shows, he like has a big yacht and everybody goes and parties on it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
My first thought has always been like, who's getting on a fucking boat?
Twice.
With Leonardo DiCaprio.
Leo's boat sank in, what's it called? Wolf of Wall Street, too.
Yeah. Luckily, they would be able to prevent this from actually happening because Val Kilmer and his team created a machine that will let Denzel Washington go back in time as he watches it as a movie. And he can prevent the bank robbery from even happening.
Is it a car?
No, it's actually a device. They can put it in a car and drive, but they can see back in time like 20 minutes.
Wow.
So.
Oh.
That's crazy. Does Leo also go by the name of Frank Abagnale? Are they like, catch me if you can, catch me if you can?
Yeah, because they also stole all the checks, and then he counterfeited a bunch of checks and forged them.
In France.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember when that would be a good idea for the movie.
And got away in a plane because he pretended to be a pilot, which he was also in school, and this brings it all the way around. He was in pilot school with Tom Cruise and Goose.
There it is.
Oh, there it is. There's the movie.
Mm-hmm.
That's a bank robbing fucking hit.
I think so.
All right, so we did war and we did bank robbing. Next movie...
Sports.
Okay.
Sports movie. Sports.
Stay tuned Thursday for our sports movie.
Sports bio movie.
Just something to think about, guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know who I want to star in a sports movie?
Yeah.
Not sure.
I'm going to throw it Keanu Reeves. Maybe he's a
quarterback
for a replacement team.
Rudy.
Fuck Rudy, dude.
Okay.
Why do you hate Rudy?
It's a made-up story. Joe Montana said it. It's a made-up story. He fucking didn't do shit. He sucks.
Joe Montana's a liar.
Do you Joe Montana's a horrible person.
No, because Rocky, no one ever... Except for fucking Philadelphia, nobody thinks Rocky's a real movie. Story. Sorry. It's a real movie.
So Rudy isn't a real story?
No.
But Rocky is?
No. Oh, I didn't say that. I said only Philadelphia. Who puts a fucking fictional character as a statue in your fucking city?
I have a real question.
That's my favorite Bill Burr line. He's like, oh, yeah, Joe line? Lewis was born in your city. Yeah. And wait. You have a fictional box.
Hey, that's when Bill Burr's up on that stage at the Comedy Fest and everybody's booing him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he just does 15. Is it 15 minutes or 10 minutes?
It's wait, at least 10. It's at least 10. Oh, yeah. He got booed in Philadelphia and went on literally one of the greatest rants of all time about the city of Philadelphia and the inhabitants.
I need to watch that so bad.
Dude, oh, yeah.
When I say it's one of the best things I've ever watched in my entire life, he does a countdown for how many minutes he's paid to be there for. He goes on like a rant. And you're fucking saying this Rocky's a real fucking thing? 8 minutes. Like, it's incredible.
He literally ripped them for so long, they started to cheer him towards the end of it.
Yeah, he like won.
He brought him around.
At one point, in the middle of the rant, after he just berated them, and he goes, I'll be selling CDs after the show.
6 minutes.
We're going to be good at making movies, though, I think. We're good at creating funny content. We're just not as good at the logistical and behind-the-scenes administrative crap. And there's a reason everybody got into business that is in business. And it wasn't to worry about how to track your applicants or to figure out email marketing. So don't let those things dominate your time. There's software out there that can handle all the day-to-day busy work for you. You just need to find it. That's why I'm telling people about Capterra.com.
New sponsor.
New what? Sponsor. Alert.
This button might work.
Sponsor alert.
Yeah.
All right. Attaboy, Vince.
Everyone go hide in your basements. Get in the bathtub.
Not a fucking tornado siren?
No. Yeah, probably.
Or a new sponsor alert siren, however you look at it.
Well, I respect the hell out of both of them.
Guys, Capterra helps you find the software solution for your business needs. It's an easy-to-use website with over 400 categories of software to choose from. Whether you need help with website building, customer service, or project management, Capterra is the place to go. They have thousands of ratings and reviews from actual software users just like you. And here's the best part. Using Capterra is absolutely free. There's no obligation. You don't need to register. It's a free resource that will help you make the right software decision. All the things I just said that Capterra does are things you used to have to hire a team of nerds to do. That meant you had extra salaries to pay, plus you had a team of nerds sitting around asking you questions like, what do boobs feel like, or want to see my cats? But not anymore, thanks to Capterra. Join the millions of people who use Capterra every month. Visit Capterra.com/America and find the software that will help you do what you do better. That's Capterra, CAPTERRA.com/America to start your search today. Capterra.com/America.
Pat, I have a question for you.
Huge thanks to Capterra.com. What's up, buddy?
Do you remember who made fun of me when I bought a fidget spinner?
Todd.
Yep. Do you know who else made fun of me?
Nick.
Yep. There was a third one in there, too.
Me?
No, yeah, no, you bought one with me. But those three assholes, Vibs, Todd, and Nick, there's fidget spinners in this office, and they haven't stopped playing with them this entire fucking show.
I'm so addicted.
I haven't heard Nick talk in 20 minutes.
Can you hear it in the mic?
Let's do it at the same time. 1, 2, 3, go.
Electric. You guys are fucking electric.
Mine's broke.
I hope so, forever.
I'm bending time with my fidget spinner.
Big thanks to Capterra.com. Thanks for coming on board. That's awesome. Sorry for the tornado siren. But that is fantastic. Does Capterra.com handle expense reports?
We should look at that.
I got that.
They might have emailed me that a few months ago. I didn't see it.
June 2nd, Pat. June 2nd.
That's awesome. Yeah, long time ago. Big thanks to Capterra.com for coming on board. Diggs, is there anything else going on in sports?
Brooks Koepka won the U.S. Open. He pretty much dominated. It was kind of boring. KD argued with a girl on Twitter all night whether he likes to be farted on or not.
Yeah, oh, really? he called her bruh a couple times.
Yeah, he did.
I don't know if he knew he was talking to a girl or not, but my favorite one is when he said, when she says, I didn't quit my team or something and leave to go da da da. He said, of course you didn't. You can't ball. I love I really, and I bet you there's people like, Kevin Durant, you shouldn't do that. Like, why are you giving her attention? It's so much, he had so much fun doing that. Like, it is so much fun just, like, letting a troll have their moment there, but also embarrassing them in front of their entire family. Like, yeah. That's a blast. I love doing it.
But, like, what a weird claim for her to just be like, hey, I know somebody who said that you loved to be farted on.
No, I mean, everything that is said, I mean, granted, who knows who that girl knows, but I'm sure maybe he does, right? There's no reason that gets out for no reason.
Dude, I'm going to be honest with you. If a girl farts on me, extra points for her because that's hilarious.
What?
Like, I wouldn't get sexually turned on by it necessarily.
What?
But I just think it's hilarious. What? It's a hilarious move.
Todd.
You heard him.
What? Todd, saying. You like the Cleveland Steamer? You like getting shit on over there?
I don't know if I would like to get shit on, but if you can fart on me, I think it's funny. And I'll give you extra points for being a cool chick.
I'll tell you what. My lady does not fart.
Really?
She does, like, I think at some point, but never around me.
Girls don't.
Really?
She lives with me. We're very comfortable together, and my ass is always talking. My ass is always talking, but she doesn't do it. And I would I want her to do it at this point because I just think it would be funny.
Right.
Because she's such a little tiny person and so beautiful and just be like, you know, like, I think that'd be hilarious, but she does not. But Todd, you're saying you like getting shit on?
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what he said.
No?
That's exactly what he said.
Not getting shit on.
I heard it.
Farting on makes me laugh.
It is funny. I mean, farts are funny. I mean,
he has two girls, one cup saved on his computer as a home tab.
Let me ask you, this won't count for you, Pat, because you have money. But the rest of us, what around the table, what dollar amount would it take for you to let a girl shit on you?
Who wants to start?
How hot's the girl?
I'm going to say she's a 6.
Eight. No, make it an 8.
All right, go 8.
Okay.
Vibs, go.
$5,000.
Okay.
If we're being realistic.
Okay. All right.
Wait, what?
$5,000.
He'll let an 8 shit on him.
Can't wait to
chest.
Watch that content. I got $5,000 ready for to get shit on.
So $5,000 to get shit on, $1,000 to get in a ring with a bull. I wanted more than $1,000. Someone just died yesterday with a bull.
Vibs, what a life you're living, buddy.
Are we talking current financial status or previous when I was actually employed?
Right now, today,
if we were to say, we'll give you this much money to let this 8 shit on your chest, how much would it take?
$20.
Do I get to shower immediately afterwards?
No, 1 hour.
Yeah. 1 hour?
What?
You have to lay you just have to sit.
That's a good idea.
With shit
that's
on fine. My chest
yeah,
for an hour.
You have to lay sit still on your back with the shit on your chest for a half hour.
Can I hold my nose?
No. That thing's gigantic, dude.
It's a big sniffer. I'm getting all those fumes.
Hands down by your side.
$1,200.
Wow, he's thought about that before. That's a very exact price.
$1,200.
Diggs is really thinking. I have a FaceTime going where I can see Diggs trying to figure out the exact dollar amount. Diggs, what is it?
$137.
What's your reason?
That's a cable bill that we pay each month. Yeah.
And I need a new laptop, so.
What a team player.
It's allergy season. My nose is so stuffed up. I could sit there for hours. I could watch Leo die on the fucking boat while that shit's on my chest. I don't care.
One cable bill to shit on Diggs' chest.
There's no chance you won't throw up, Diggs.
I got two.
You gag, you'll throw up.
I got two parking tickets this weekend. Because I'm too lazy to put my car in the garage, which is 30 yards farther than where I parked it on the street. So
why don't you do that? Like, what's going on,
bud? I don't know, man. I was real hungover.
Yeah, but literally, there's no advantage for you parking on the street. There's
none. Literally, it's like a 30-second less walk.
Well, when you walk out on a Monday morning and your car's right there, it's kind of nice.
It's nice. It's nice.
Do you feel like you're like a VIP because your car's right out front?
No, we walked out today. Dick's like, do you want me to drive today? And I was like, oh, my car's right there. So nope. Todd, how much are you paying?
I'd have to pay me. I'd go $15,000.
$15,000?
I'm telling you, getting shit on is a whole different...
I'll never be the same, Pat. You know what I mean? I figure $15,000 is worth... this nightmare that's going to reoccur.
No.
So you're all about being farted on, but shit really ups the ante.
I feel like there's a difference.
He's all about the
clearly
bite, not the bite.
That's exactly right, Pat.
But listen, like, you have to look in the mirror after this, like after you paid your cable bill a month later, when there's another one coming, you have to be like, I got shit on.
Yeah.
Here's my thing, though, because I need to bounce this out.
Mm-hmm.
I watch a lot of porn, okay?
Okay.
and it's starting to make real sex seem like it's not great. So I'm thinking I get shit on once, it brings me back to normal where I think real sex is cool again.
Right.
Because you like living in a fantasy world right now on your phone for people that are getting paid to get demolished.
Correct.
Ah, got you. That makes sense.
Glad you followed.
Let's go back to Brooks Koepka real quick.
Yeah.
I think Wayne Gretzky has won the last two U.S. Opens.
Because he's friends with DJ, too? Or
yeah, so Dustin Johnson didn't start winning until he was in the Wayne Gretzky family. Whenever you hang out with greatness, it just kind of rubs off on you. That's why, like, I was very lucky to be on the same team as Vinatieri.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're, like, hanging around it so much, you're like, oh, fuck, I don't want to let this guy down. I might as well do it. Right? So Dustin Johnson starts hanging out with Wayne Gretzky. All of a sudden, Dustin Johnson becomes a winner.
Mm-hmm.
Then this Koepka guy is, like, best friends with Dustin Johnson. So now Wayne Gretzky's musk has rubbed off on Dustin Johnson, which then has rubbed off on Brooks Koepka.
Pat.
Yeah.
Did you happen to see how far he hit that 3-wood on 18 yesterday?
Who, Koepka?
Yeah.
No, how far?
357 yards.
3-wood.
Yeah.
Mm.
Wayne Gretzky.
Him and DJ play together every day and just probably laugh at people.
But I bet you, I heard this take on, I think it was on TV, on mm-hmm. the TV. But whenever you're playing golf and you play golf with a guy who's winning a lot and in practice rounds you're beating him.
Absolutely.
You're probably like, man, why don't I fucking just go ahead and win one? You know, like mm-hmm. that has to be a mindset. And if he's hitting a 3-wood, 350 what, 7?
357. It was downwind, but.
Yeah, it was pretty windy there, but still.
Yeah, it's still a, like, that's like. You watch kickers kick field goals and there's wind at their back, obviously. You still got to hit that fucking thing. Like, you still got to hit it, even though. But 350 for a 3-wood, unbelievable. That's John Daly back in the day.
The best was Joe Buck gave his ex-girlfriend a shout-out, too. He was like, that's Brooks Koepka, and he said his ex-girlfriend's name instead of his current girlfriend's name, so that was kind of funny.
Oh, no.
Yep.
Biggest moment of your life has been ruined for the next week because your girlfriend's pissed.
And then the other announcer, like a minute later, was like, actually, that was his ex-girlfriend. His current girlfriend is so-and-so. And they,
Joe Buck. Joe Buck's a bro, too, I feel.
Yeah, he is.
Bro Buck knows that he
Bro Buck.
Bro Buck. He knows that he definitely put Brooks in a bad situation. If your name's Brooks, though, you better be good at something.
He's a big, handsome fella. I think he's doing all right.
Well, Brooks was here.
Yeah. R.I.P. Brooks.
I wanted to name my son Brooks and couldn't get his mom to go for it.
Is it because of Brooks was here?
Brooks Robinson. Who's third that? Baseman.
Oh, my God. Why don't you go baseball
player? The greatest third baseman ever.
What?
He was the best third baseman ever.
Who played third base for the Yankees like the last?
A-Rod.
A-Rod, best third baseman of all time.
He just that's where shortstops go now when they can't, when they lose a step.
I got one more sports story for you, Pat.
Is it baseball?
No.
What is it?
Kidding me? Phelps is racing a shark.
I hope he gets eaten.
They won't let him. He's probably in like a glass tank, right?
Of course.
Yeah, but how do you like get a shark to be like,
I want real danger. I want real excitement.
Shark? A great white.
Yeah, you just
ooh,
put
damn.
You just put blood in the water.
Not the fastest shark, though.
Thanks, Pat.
Which one's the fastest?
Mako shark. It can go up to 40 miles an hour in the water.
Do you know where you learned that from?
Shark Week.
Nope. Deep Blue Sea.
What?
It's a movie.
The Mako sharks?
They ate Samuel L. Jackson.
They ate Samuel L. Jackson.
Are you sure it wasn't Will Smith?
LL Cool J survived, I think.
LL did survive.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot he was in that.
Was that that movie that was literally just all out in the ocean?
Yep.
Oh, fuck. I hate those.
Yeah.
It was like very similar to Snakes on a Plane, but with sharks.
It was like, Pat. It was
sharks
like,
on a ship.
It was like Snakes on a Plane, but it was sharks in the water.
It was very similar to Jaws, just with HD. Is that a thing?
Yeah.
So he's racing a great white shark, and he's obviously going to lose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have any details come out? Like, how is he?
No,
how are they doing? Are they timing him?
It's like, just the headline. I don't know what it's going to be, but it's kicking off Shark Week.
Oh, fucking Shark Week is just a different group of white dudes getting in the water every 30 minutes, and we're all hoping they die.
Yeah.
Did you ever do that? You were supposed to do that. Did you swim with the sharks, Pat?
No, the lockout ended.
Well, you can do it now, right? Let's set that up.
I know the place. There's one out in San Fran, but now I feel like every week you see a great white great white being reported in some beach it's not supposed to be. The fact that people still get in the ocean, I have no fucking idea what they're doing. These great white sharks are lost these days. They go wherever they want. The beaches that you used to think were safe, no more. Great whites are just out there fucking slaughtering people.
That's a good question. Are you guys ocean guys? I'm not.
No,
I go up to where my, if I can't touch the bottom anymore, see ya. I'm going back in.
There's a lot of shit that can happen.
Fuck the ocean.
That is not our realm.
Yeah.
No, we're land animals. That's what we are.
You hit a bad piece of coral and you get poisoned by it. It's just, you never know what.
Or you just stub your toe.
Actually,
yeah. Damn, that hurts.
How about having to piss on yourself because of jellyfish? I mean, there's so much bad stuff. I mean, Todd likes getting farted on. Diggs likes getting shit on. But there ain't nothing more embarrassing than when you have to walk out of the ocean and just start pissing on your foot because a jellyfish attacked it.
So I won't fuck with the Atlantic or Pacific. But by the way, Pacific Ocean is the coldest fucking thing in the world.
That's where I got to go to for the Great Whites.
It's terrible.
Out there in San Francisco. Mm. They put you in a cage.
But I will fuck with, like, the Caribbean Sea.
Yeah, because that's see-through, so you know what's going on.
I could see. If I could see my feet, I'm good.
Yeah, but you can't see, like, until you see. You don't know until
you can't.
You can't see. You don't know until you know. Like,
right.
We're going to the Caribbean, my lady and I. And I think she's going to want to be a big water person. Like, I think she's like talking about snorkeling. I'm like, snorkeling? What the fuck are you talking about?
Go to Stingray City. It's a good time. No one's ever died from a stingray.
Rest in peace, Steve Irwin.
Mm-hmm.
God,
I loved his show so much. I was so sad when that happened.
We all grew up. Like, I feel like everybody grew up on Steve Irwin.
Yeah.
Yeah,
totally.
His dog. He had a really cool dog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Black Lab?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot better than that fucking English lab. How about Steve Irwin's kid? The exact same person as Steve Irwin.
Bindi.
It's awesome.
He's awesome. I'm really happy Jimmy Fallon's putting him on TV.
Oh, he's his son? I thought you were talking about his daughter. I haven't seen his son yet.
Oh, his son is him. His son is Steve Irwin, but like 13 years old, and Jimmy Fallon puts him on TV now, and it is like, it's like you're a kid again. It's like you're watching Steve Irwin all over again. I look, ain't she beautiful?
That's awesome.
Like, same exact mannerisms and everything. It's pretty fantastic.
The daughter's pretty good looking, isn't she?
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Well, she's Australian. I've never seen an ugly Australian girl.
Really? Have you seen their president?
No.
She is a hideous thing.
No. I only follow the Instagram Australian model, so that's probably why. I don't follow the president.
Yeah. Speaking of president, world news. Nick, anything going on in the world?
There's a lot going on, buddy.
Do you want to rattle them off, or you want to go one at a time?
Let's go one at a time. I'll start with the good news. The U.S. military on Sunday shot down a Syrian Air Force fighter jet that bombed local allied forces in the Americans' fight against Islam.
What?
Nice. What did we shoot it down with?
Missiles.
It was plane to plane.
Was it a dogfight type thing?
It's a dogfight.
Yes. I love it. We don't have enough of those anymore.
No.
We're back. Because you know all those Air Force pilots, like, their entire life, they've been training and dreaming of dogfighting. Back whenever we used to use old school computers and you could dogfight on the computer by putting a right and left button. Like, people have been training for this all the time.
This guy's never seen Top Gun. It's literally the entire plot of the movie.
What?
The entire plot of Top Gun is them training Air Force and naval pilots to do dogfighting and air-to-air combat because since Korea, their numbers have just been getting
in Korea, we used to dominate 7-1, and then it dropped to 2-1, but we're back up.
Did you know Korea, there was never, Todd and I found this out the other day, there's never been a peace agreement or peace treaty like to end the war. There's only been a ceasefire. So we are still in war with Korea.
It's just the truce.
Yeah, it's just like a ceasefire. That's
we learned that the other day when we were shooting.
Yeah, we could undo that right now. Like, if they just said, hey, game on!
Car! But I found it very interesting that there's never been like an agreement to end a war, just a ceasefire.
Yeah.
That's crazy. But dogfighting's back, and we're obviously going to be fucking undefeated. These guys have been training for years.
They should bring it back. My grandpa had such cool stories from World War II because he ran an anti-aircraft gun where it took four members to operate the same gun, you know? Like, one hit the crank, and my grandpa was the guy who aimed it, put the sights on. But he said he used to sit out in the Pacific Islands and just watch dogfights all day. Like,
how
planes
awesome would that
dogfighting
be?
Over the top of them all day long.
Michael Vick did the same thing. I felt good about that.
You should.
I almost made a Michael Vick Atlanta Falcons dogfighting reference on Pro Football Talk. Very happy I didn't do it.
They probably
You just can't help yourself.
Dude, I'm telling you, if you watch that back, you're going to see my brain go through about 45 different things before it says what it says. Because the first one is like, nope. It's like a Diggs moment.
Oh, yeah, you did that. You did me.
I have like a full Diggs moment where you guys have heard this at Tax where Diggs will start to say something, and all of a sudden he'll go, I remember this one time I was like, nope. Because that's his brain going, do not say this in public. I was having that on Pro Football Talk for sure. Anyway, so we're dogfighting with Syria. We're winning. It's about time we start taking the fight to these motherfuckers, though. It's about time. Ain't that right, Todd?
Yeah, I totally agree. And Japan better watch their shit.
Oh,
right
Jesus.
Now.
Here we go.
Speaking of.
Crashed that cargo ship and killed into our naval vessel, killed seven sailors. I'm a little pissed about it.
Nick's going to set you straight here, though.
Yeah. Nick, please. Hold on. I get a text. We all got a text, a group text the other day. I was traveling here to Connecticut, and it's Todd saying, Japan needs to fucking die or something.
Nah,
like, what happened?
Time to send another nuke.
Jesus. I'm like, what happened? And then he sends this very short text, or very short text, goes, yep, ran a cargo ship into one of our naval vessels, killed seven sailors. Time for them to die, wipe out another city. I'm like, whoa. What happened, Nick? Did something happen in Japan?
So it appears, and by appears, I mean it actually happened, that a Japanese-owned cargo ship crashed into a U.S. naval vessel, killed seven soldiers. The rest of the crew actually fought for about 16 hours to keep the ship afloat and actually managed to get it back into port. The interesting thing was the Japanese ship was manned by all Filipino sailors. So it was a Japanese-owned shipping company.
First things first, to all the men and women serving in Japan, big thank you. For actually men and women serving everywhere, thank you very much. But I've been to Japan. It's a whole different world over there. We're very thankful for your service. Rest in peace to the seven sailors that passed away. Did this was an accident? How does the cargo ship run into a
fucking U.S.
The details are extremely sketchy right now, and I say that because from both sides, like the U.S. obviously isn't leaking out any information either. There are conflicting reports saying the Japanese Coast Guard saying the crash initially occurred at 2:20 a.m., and that's when the Filipino ship reported it. The U.S., and then originally heard that it happened at 1:30 a.m., but they're sticking with the 2:20 a.m. time. So no one really wants to give out the full actual details yet. I think it's too early to tell. They got to do the whole investigation and get to the bottom of it.
I don't know how you miss a naval vessel that's that big. And
USS Fitzgerald, right? Is that what
that's correct.
And
USS Fitzgerald.
Japan a second chance here, so they need to tread lightly. And I'm unlike most cops, I'm all about second chances. Like Lloyd Martin, bank robber, he can better his life now. I'm all for that. He can become a preacher, which, by the way, former bank robber turned preacher is the plot to my favorite TV show on AMC. It's Preacher, and season two starts in just a few days, so don't miss the two-night premiere on June 25th and 26th, only on AMC. For those who haven't seen it, let me give you a quick rundown of what it's about. Jesse Custer, a former bank robber turned preacher, is granted a special power. When he tells you to do something out loud, you're compelled to do it. For most of season one, he thought God gave him this power by mistake. But by the end, he wasn't sure it was God, and he wasn't sure it was a mistake. So let's see what season two has in store. Jesse runs with his ex-girlfriend, a former partner in crime, Tulip O'Hare. Tulip's an expert marksman and a badass. She'll kick your ass with or without a gun. And she's hot as balls. Jesse also runs with the 119-year-old Irish vampire named Cassidy, who loves three things: banging chicks, getting turned, and killing bad guys. Preacher's produced by the producers of Breaking Bad and Seth Rogen. It's a hilariously violent thrill ride that'll either keep you feeling reeling on the edge of your seat or rolling on the floor with laughter. That's my favorite part. I can't wait to see where this season goes. So make sure you catch the two-night premiere of Preacher Season 2 on June 25th and 26th, only on AMC. That's A as in angels, M as in monsters, C as in crazy hot chicks. I just described the first 10 minutes of every episode of Preacher. If that sounds awesome, it's because it is. So watch it. And hashtag me, Preacher, hashtag AMC. Hashtag Preacher, hashtag AMC. Why this thing's playing? Because I love to talk about it.
Can I be the voice of reason here?
Mm-hmm.
Todd?
Let me hear it.
In what world do you think, as an attack, it's a good fucking plan to run a cargo ship into a battleship?
Well, you're sacrificing your Filipino friends in the cargo ship. That's really no law.
I've seen movies. They have radar. Why did the battleship just not fucking blow it out of the water?
That's what they're trying to find out. Why the radar wasn't working and why they didn't see this coming.
What kind of cloaking device was developed by Japan?
Well, the interesting thing, Todd, is too, like, Japan does not have an active military right now, right? They kind of just have,
they don't have
the equivalent of like a National Guard.
They have a self-defense team.
Correct.
It is self-defense air, self-defense sea, self-defense land. That's because we wrote their constitution and said you are not allowed to have a military. so they're only allowed to have self-defense team. And Japan does not like us there. Like, we were told strictly not to tell locals that we were there to visit the military. So the fact that this is a potential attack from Japan on us, I'm surprised it hasn't happened earlier, to be honest. They do not like us. They hate us.
You've been calling this for a while.
Long time. I've said they hate us for a long time. They do not enjoy us over there. I guess we can say that we're there protecting them, but the Japanese want us the fuck out of there. They want to protect themselves, but whenever they decide to go ahead and dance with the devil, you know, in Pearl Harbor, that's what fucking happens.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happens there. For the rest of your existence, you're under us. But I will be interested to see how this kind of all settles itself up.
Me too.
Well, speaking of that mindset of the U.S. involvement being somewhere where we are not welcome.
Time now for the Jim Kong update on the Pat McAfee Show.
God, that gong sounds better and better each time. You know, now that I'm in Connecticut and I get a chance to really hear it, God, uh-huh. That gong sounds good. Need more gongs in our world.
More gongs.
Hey, guys, did you see the Jim Kong romper? This weekend? Did you guys see that?
Oh, I've not seen a single picture of that.
Did anyone see that?
Romper.
No, where was it?
I don't know. I heard about it, though.
Yeah.
Someone was telling me about it. I ran into somebody on the street, and they were like, hey, I heard about this romper. It's got Jim Kong's face on it. It looks hilarious.
Any pictures
you guys
all.
You guys should look into it.
Somebody should probably try to tag us on Twitter.
Did a guy named Kerry create it from ESPN?
Listen, while you guys are being dicks, we want to thank all of our listeners for always sending us all the stuff. It's good.
That was awesome. I cannot complain about being flooded with Jim. Every time I open my phone, I saw Jim Kong's face.
1 million tweets.
Every time.
It's a huge compliment every time.
You know what? I hate listeners that want to be a part of the
podcast. boy, I got a... It's almost up to the canal jokes. That fucking romper. Everybody's like, I can see at Tactical Digs wearing this all summer. I'm like, me too, actually.
Can I tell you a story? Or who was I with? It was either Friday or Saturday night, and I almost bought it. Like, Drunk Anthony was like, hey, not a bad idea.
Drunk Anthony also drove 2 hours out of Indianapolis whenever he was here.
I didn't drive. I was in an Uber.
Your house is in downtown Indianapolis, and you took an Uber 2 hours out of town. Drunk Anthony makes worse decisions than drunk Pat McAfee.
Why would you go 2 hours out of town?
All I know is I woke up, and I was like, guys, I'm either in Illinois or Kentucky. I'm not sure which direction I went last night, but...
Jeez. Did you go... You couldn't go shopping that late at night. Everything would be closed. Why would you go 2 hours at 4 a.m?
Somebody told me.
Food.
That there was a great restaurant.
Yeah.
Oh, like a 24-hour one?
No, I was going to Chicago to get a deep dish. That's what I was really...
He was giving out some deep dish.
Yeah.
Can I just say that night I was in an Uber for 2.5 hours because a semi-truck spilt grapes all over the interstate. And I just sat in an Uber with some guy who talked politics the whole fucking time.
I saw that news. You were stuck behind. I saw everything. I saw the news. I saw the traffic. You were in that traffic.
I was the car right behind it.
At what time?
I was there until like 5 a.m.
Was this after Ski Ball?
Yeah.
Right after Ski Ball.
Man, you had a night.
I had a bunch of tickets. I was like, this is a great night. And then I get stuck behind a grape truck.
I would have for sure got out and walked past the traffic or past the crash and got another Uber or something.
I'm definitely grabbing grapes, too.
For sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you take a picture or anything of this?
Yeah. There's a picture, I think, of me in the back. And the guy had like 18 GPS systems. I was like, what are you doing?
I respect that, though, because the Uber drivers, if they use the actual Uber GPS, will just complain about it the entire time.
Dude.
But they'll still use it and not use another one. If you have another one in the car, use it, please.
This stupid fucking Uber. That's what they always say. This stupid fucking map. This stupid GPS. This stupid. I hear that out of Uber drivers. So this stupid.
But for real, I actually do have Jim Kongness.
Oh, I forgot that you even played this fucking song.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And you said something about us not being wanted.
Well, that's the North Korea's whole thing, right? They don't want the imperialistic U.S. forces over there.
Yeah. We've been learning that. Yeah,
as we all know,
yeah, go ahead.
As we all know, Dennis Rodman made his annual visit over there, which Diggs highlighted very well.
Thank you. Filling
in for me. Thank you, World News Diggs.
Hey, real quick, World News Diggs got onto CBS.
Yeah, I know, I'm about to get into that too, because it should be Fake News Diggs, because Rodman was there, but there's no actual official documentation that he met with Jim Kong while he was there.
Who the fuck do you talk to? You can't go to North Korea and not talk to Jim Kong.
During his visit, Rodman reportedly played basketball with the North Korean men's and women's team. He visited the zoo, he met Olympic athletes, and he presented an unsigned copy of U.S. President Donald Trump's book, The Art of the Deal, to the North Korea's sports minister. It has not been confirmed or denied that he actually met with Jim Kong during his visit.
Is that sports guy the one that puts out all the awesome Stephen A. Smith-type quotes?
Yes.
Oh, I love that guy. That's the guy we need to meet.
He's the guy who keeps track of his golf score, too. We need him as our caddy.
Also, with Diggs' little tweet that made it onto CBS Sports, I had actually already reached out to Rodman, and he passed on the show.
Wow. So,
fake news Diggs, again, just spreading lies for his own personal gain. But that's okay.
I feel like World News Nick felt a little bit like, you know, like embattled almost, because you made it onto to fake media, CBS. And now he's just been digging his heels in, trying to figure out how he can make fun of you for it. And I honestly believe that he was going over there strictly to meet with Jim Kong. So you're saying he did not do that?
It has not been confirmed.
Nor denied. It hasn't been denied either.
Well, World News Digs, you got any news for us?
Yeah.
What is it?
Mm-hmm.
Please say Dennis Rodman met with Jim Kong.
While he's looking up something to talk about.
No, I have a story. I have a story. No, I don't.
No.
thank you. North Korea says it sent delegates to the United Nations conference in New York, where they were, quote unquote, literally mugged by U.S. authorities as they tried to leave JFK International Airport Saturday.
Did they have like an LOL shirt on? Like
that's what happened to Otto.
Yeah, there's two ladies that put the what is that? What was that gas they put in?
They killed his brother.
Agent Orange, nerve gas. I don't know, some type of nerve gas. Sarin gas. Was it sarin gas?
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
So they sent delegates to New York.
So they sent delegates to New York, and the U.S. Department of Homeland Security detained them, and took. They had a little package with them in the U.S. The U.S. snatched it up. And the Korean Central News Agency is saying this is an illegal and heinous act of provocation, and that the U.S. authorities behaved like gangsters.
We need that guy. Whoever that guy that's putting out these quotes, he's the best. He's the Stephen A. Smith of PR.
He's the ultimate hype man.
Oh, my God. He's the greatest. But so, like, North Korea had somebody in the Olympics, too, right?
Good question.
They said that they won every event.
Yeah, they did, because Rodman met with their Olympic athletes.
But why do these guys go back, and girls, why do they go back?
Great question. There was a guy that defected. He swam across the river to South Korea last week.
Really?
Yeah, he wanted out.
What? I'd assume everybody wants out. But you're on meth so hard.
Well, like we've said before, if the propaganda is that good and the meth is that much better, it's tough to leave, because you don't know anything else.
Cute.
Yep. But when you leave for, like, the Olympics, you get out and you see everything else. You're like, oh, fuck, the internet. This is insane. Oh, my God, there's running
water. I would have to assume their Olympic athletes have been brainwashed since they were able to think for them, you know, conscious thoughts.
Can you imagine Jim Kong to these delegates? Hey, we're going to send you to America.
To the United Nations.
And they're like, do you think this is the best idea, Jim?
Yeah, tell them, yeah.
We're for sure going to be fucked over there.
Oh, my God.
Well, the U.S. came out and said we did nothing wrong, and they did not hold diplomatic status, so.
Of course we did. The guy's a war criminal. We can do whatever the fuck we want to him.
Exactly.
Right? You're allowed to do whatever you want to a war criminal. The guy's a war criminal. Terrible person.
All bets are off.
When are we going to kill him?
I don't know. I think he's good for business.
He makes the U.S. look so good. Donald Trump's like, all this bad press, keep this motherfucker alive.
Yeah, and he like also like distracts everyone from like the real problem. It's in like Syria and shit. Now I'm just taking this from the three article headlines that I read a day. But yeah, I think he's just a good distraction from the real fucking problems.
Listen to CBS Diggs getting all deep into the fucking
Not news. A big deal.
Oh my God. Anything else, Nick?
Yeah, I got one more for you. Here's the ultimate irony of North Korea's situation. So we all know they're not well off financially, right? Mm-hmm. They struggle. Yeah, that's why they hack into everyone's
hand to mouth.
Yeah.
That's why they got cardboard missiles instead of real ones.
So apparently they are sitting on a gold mine of minerals and natural reserves. Like zinc, copper, limestone, magnesite, graphite. They do know it. The problem,
is
there's a shortage of mining equipment in North Korea, and they're unable to purchase new equipment due to the economic situation.
That's the old catch-22.
poor condition of the power grid doesn't help you.
Oh, that's the most Jim Kong thing ever. There is billions.
Trillions. It's estimated between $6 to $10 trillion worth of minerals are sitting under North Korea right now.
Just can't get in.
That's hilarious.
Just can't get there. You know what we should do? Everybody wants to kill coal. What we need to do is invade North Korea, send West Virginia over there.
For sure. We'll have that place mined in a month.
You want some of that zinc money?
I'm all about it. It sounds like it's unobtainium over there. Trillions of dollars, you just said? I want somebody to dig in my backyard. Do I have any of that in my backyard, Nick?
Oh, you got something back there. What were those field plates that were leaking up all that water that one day?
I think my backyard might blow up one day. It's either going to be a what are those holes called?
Sinkhole.
Oh, guys, you too.
Good work.
Your backyard is filled with golf balls, firecrackers.
I love sinkholes.
Pools of water. It's not all that different from North Korea, really.
My parents used to live in Bowling Green, Kentucky, and there are a lot of sinkholes there. And, like, literally in their addition one day, there was this empty lot where they were getting ready to build a house, and it just went, just sinkhole. Like, the whole lot just
sunk. Is that what's going to happen in my yard?
Maybe. Right. Do you know why sinkholes happen? Little fun fact here.
Can't wait.
Tremors.
Because of the giant worms that live in the ground?
The giant worms. From the movie Tremors.
Yeah, the chase Kevin Bacon.
Mm-hmm. You got to get to rocks. Get to the rocks.
How is he? You graduated from college?
Yeah, 4 years.
Did you guys know Kevin Bacon has a band?
Yes. He's a musician. Good.
You know who else does that other fucking weirdo? The,
Billy Bob Thornton?
From The Office?
No.
Johnny Depp?
No.
He does,
These are weirdos who have bands. there's another guy.
The guy from Dumb and Dumber, Jeff...
Jeff Bridges?
Jeff Daniels. He has a band.
No.
Jeff Daniels also has a band. Jeff Bridges has a band. And it's kind of a solo act, but it's not bad.
No.
Some country music. Mm. Jared Leto, 30 Seconds to Mars.
No.
Man.
The guy's a real weirdo actor?
Yeah, like back in the day was a child actor.
Macaulay Culkin?
No, but very much like Macaulay Culkin.
You're talking about Corey Feldman.
Haley.
Yeah.
There it is, Corey Feldman.
Yeah, he's horrible.
Like
he's
Corey and Topanga?
No.
No,
like Donatello, voice of the Ninja Turtles, Corey Feldman, like Goonies, Corey Feldman.
Yeah. Lost Boys.
Never seen Goonies or Lost Boys.
Him.
What?
That guy. I never have either. My first time seeing him was on the Today Show. They put his ass on the fucking Today Show with his band.
So bad.
Oh, it was the worst thing I've ever seen. And then like 2 weeks later, I see he's coming to Indianapolis for the same theater that I did.
Oh.
And I'm like, fuck me.
You know who's making a comeback? Haley Joel Osment. That dude's like 4'8". Do you know he never grew?
Who?
From Sixth Sense.
Pat, the guy that's in Entourage?
Yeah, the guy from the Entourage movie. You gotta find more relatable references for Pat.
My bad.
that was even obscure for me.
The asshole Texas kid in Entourage.
Correct.
That's the kid from the Sixth Sense?
Yes.
Yes. And now he's in Silicon Valley too.
Like I See Dead People, Sixth Sense?
Yeah.
I've never seen a movie, but I've seen that piece. That's the dude that's in Entourage?
It's really one of the scariest movies I've ever seen.
I don't know why people choose to watch scary movies.
Because it's like a real scary movie.
Yeah, but why? Like, why do you watch that?
I don't know. Because I was a child.
Todd, do you watch scary movies?
I don't watch them anymore.
I don't. There's not very many good ones. That's why I don't watch them. They're usually stupid.
It's one of the only things that'll like actually make you feel something while watching a movie, I feel like.
Well, yeah, because you're dead inside.
Fucking Tin Man Nick. Tin Man makes you feel something. Like, he watches John Q at the end there where Will Smith and his kid are having a moment.
Never seen it.
Denzel Washington.
I just imagine Nick on the couch over there watching scary movies, cutting his forearm.
Jeez, man.
Tin Man, you...
No, I like myself. I don't cut myself.
We actually did watch The Ring 2 like a month ago, and it was fucking horrendous.
Rings, the new one.
Rings.
Bad.
You know what, though? Like, scary movies are so cheap to make. Some of those motherfuckers get broken off with money.
I like ones like Silence of the Lambs. I remember like watching that, and I was
like a thriller,
it was, like, scary. Yeah, because it was like a real.
It's like a psychological thriller.
It wasn't make believe clown or something.
So you don't like Paranormal Activity.
I had a panic attack in Paranormal Activity.
What?
I was drinking and I had smoked and I was also on hydroxycut.
Hydroxycut.
Probably didn't even need the movie to.
And all those things mixed with the movie would just didn't go well for me.
I'm sure you're watching a movie. You're probably just watching TV. Hydroxycut was killing people. Back.
Yeah, I think that's why my heart's so fucked up now, and I can't drink Red Bull.
I used to get on. I hate ordering shots with you.
Diggs bombs.
Diggs bombs.
I'd like 8 Vegas bombs, please, and then always to chime in to the bearded man. Can one of those be with ginger ale?
excuse me. I have a heart condition.
I said die. And then when they follow up with what? He goes, heart problem.
And then they follow up with, we don't have ginger ale because this is Indianapolis and no one carries it. So we're just going to mix Coke and Sprite together and call it ginger ale.
The waitress the other night, I forget what she called it, but she's like, oh yeah, no problem, but I'm going to put pineapple juice instead of ginger ale because that's a real shot. And I think she was just trying to hit on me for later in the night. You know why? Pineapple juice? Dun, dun, dun.
Does she live two hours from Indianapolis?
Pineapple juice makes you taste better.
Good callback. Todd.
what about you taste better? Like when they kiss your neck or?
Is it your lips?
Yeah. Pheromones? What is it?
Just
is
your
it?
Sweat? Yeah. Your sweat has pineapple taste?
It's that sweet yogurt slinger.
All right, on that note, let's do some final thoughts. At Todd McComas, you're up.
I saw on the internet recently that a 67-year-old woman was walking in New Jersey, and she had her head buried in her phone, and one of those sidewalk doors was open, and she fell in it.
Oh, that was awesome.
I love that. Yeah. I mean, I love that, because I think that helps us get rid of the stupid people.
Yes, I have a very similar...
We constantly have trapdoors everywhere.
I have a very similar final thought.
That's okay. Like when the Pokemon Go was happening. I wish I was full board. I wish there were just trapdoors everywhere for those motherfuckers. That's actual Diggs' final thought.
Similar to Todd, let's kill stupid people. Guy died. He tried to go over the Niagara Falls in an inflatable ball. He went over the falls on 419 and was just found on June 2nd. Loser.
He was trying to do it again, right? He was the first guy to ever do it.
Yeah, he had done it before, just like in a raincoat, and this time he went in an inflatable ball and died.
What's the point? If you've already done it once, like why?
I don't know.
It makes no sense. Fuck that guy. I mean, you know why? Because he got a little pop the first time he did it. Mm-hmm. Probably got his dick sucked a couple times. He's like, no.
It's like that Seinfeld episode where they fill the rubber ball with oil, and they think it's going to solve tanker problems, but... That's what he was doing.
Thanks, Diggs.
You didn't get that. You don't watch Seinfeld.
I watch Seinfeld, but not every episode. I can take the reservation. I just hold the reservation. At Nick Moraldo, what's up?
So shout out to Western Pennsylvania. A man was awarded $870,000 for a 2013 incident, which a doctor removed the wrong testicle during surgery.
Yo, how much are his balls worth?
Almost $1 million, $870,000. So my question to you guys is, how much would it cost?
Yes.
How much is it going to take to get one of your balls removed?
137.
One cable bill for Jake. Todd, how much is a ball worth?
Actually, do it for free. Fuck, does that get rid of
eight
kids?
Eight mil.
I was on the same thought as Diggs there. Like, is this going to $8 million for one of your balls?
Yeah.
Aren't you fucking feeling it? Jesus. $15,000 of shit on Todd, but $8 million for a ball.
If I'm going to run around with one ball.
You had the same thought?
I had the same thought. I was like, take them. If it's going to save me 18 years of naps, I'm all in.
That probably is $870,000.
At least. Yeah. Especially the way my kid is going to fucking just get spoiled.
Yeah. I feel like my balls just get in the way when I'm smashing, so...
I can't. At D. Jeff Vibbert, final thoughts?
My fidget spinner's going. Yeah, I have a dilemma. So I got invited to go to a concert with a girl, and I don't want to go because I don't know what to do during the music. Like, do I stand behind her and sway? Do I?
What kind of?
It's Nelly in Florida Georgia Line.
Oh, my God.
You leave.
Who is this? Don't go. Don't talk to that human.
How hot is she?
She's pretty hot, but Nelly's going to play Country Grammar.
That's what I sang the other day.
Yeah, you killed it.
Whoa.
But what do I do with my hand? Do I just stand there? I don't know.
Put them in the air.
No, okay. You get yourself. No, you get two drinks, so you don't have to worry about that issue.
Oh, smart.
Pro tip.
That's why he's the boss.
That's a pro tip.
Get two drinks, so you don't have to worry about it, and then you just diddy bop a little bit. You don't go overboard. You kind of read her a little bit. And then when the entire crowd is feeling it, then you let loose. A
little bob of the neck.
Have you seen Nick's favorite movie, Hitch? Just do that little thing where you stay in here.
Yeah, stay in tight.
I mean, if you want to impress her, you open your wallet when you buy the drinks and let her see all the skee-ball tickets you have.
And if you really want to impress her, you just drop your zipper and let that snake hang out.
Yeah. The thing is, I won't be opening my wallet. I'd have her pay for the drinks. No money because of Skeeble.
She's forcing you to go to Florida Georgia Line. She should be paying for everything. And on that note, well, I'm going down now, baby. No rain in the rain.
Boom, boom, baby.
Hot, ready to let it go.
Shimmy, shimmy, cocoa, what? Listen to it, blow. Light it up and take a blow. Pass it to me now.
I'm going down, baby.
Nailed it.
God, those days were the best.
I love that movie, Big.
What?
What?
Big.
They used to sing it in Big.
Yeah.
Is that the one where he has AIDS?
Is that the one where the comedian is that the one where the comedian that killed himself was a child, but like a man child?
Jack?
Jack.
Simple Jack?
No.
Maybe you a song, you make me want to roll Jack. My windows down and croon.
No, Big is Tom Hanks, one of the greatest cinematic masterpieces of our lifetime.
That's never the seen AIDS it. One, right?
Yeah. No, that's it's not. There's no AIDS in Big. There's no AIDS.
There is. He has that hat on.
That's Denzel Washington. Damn it.
All right. My final thought is this. I'm in Connecticut. I cannot wait to get back to Indiana. This place is awesome, but there's no fucking air conditioning. The whole place has no air conditioning.
Wow.
I'm a hot-blooded person. I think I've lost 14 pounds since being here. I'm Irish. I'm red. I'm uncomfortable. I miss my friends.
We miss you, buddy.
And it turns out my neighbor just told me Midas' shit is in our water. But I'm so thankful you guys are listening to our show. I was just watching on one of these 15 TVs that are here, seven TVs. The UCF kicker said, fuck you to the NCAA. He's going to continue to do his YouTube channel. Good idea. You probably weren't going to make it to the NFL. Keep building your YouTube. You got good pub right here. Keep it up. Not a bad idea.
Love that.
And if you're a good enough kicker on YouTube, you'll get a tryout. I mean, that is proved over and over and time again here in the NFL. The Patriots worked out a guy. The Lions worked out a guy. I'm watching one of his kickoffs right now. He just shanked it out of bounds. So I think he should continue to do his YouTube channel. And if the NCAA goes after him, the NCAA is the villain. They look even worse than they always do. Jon Stewart, Daily Show Jon Stewart, seems to be a sponsor of the Warrior Games, which is on one of these TVs. It's like wounded vets playing sports. This is really cool. I'm excited to watch it. I literally just learned about this from watching this TV show.
Oh, I thought you meant Golden State Warriors.
No, not the Warriors.
I thought you meant like the Hunger Games Russia style where they actually kill each other.
Right.
By the way, do we have an update on that? How's that going?
I don't think it's started yet.
We'll have to look into it for next episode.
Gotta put Vibs into that. But
yeah. What?
Yep. Yeah, riding a bull, getting shit on, and now you're in the Hunger Games in Russia. That's really cool. Jon Stewart's doing that. The Warrior Games are something that we can all get behind. American heroes who have been injured in battle competing against each other. I think that's awesome. Way to go, Jon Stewart. Comedy Central has kind of sucked since you left, so we wish you would come back to that. And aside from that, guys, I'm going to keep doing this TV thing. I'm probably going to get fined by the FCC, who won't let me be, so let me be me and let me see. They try to shut me down. I lost it that time. But I'm having a great time up here. I miss you guys. I hope life's going good. Wednesday, live at 9, Adam Vinatieri will be our guest. He and I shared the field together for 8 years. We have a lot of stories, a lot in common. Adam is a guy who's known not to talk much to the media. He keeps everything close to the vest. He was friends with Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick kind of taught him that. But whenever we start chit-chatting, epic things seem to happen. Last week, John Daly told us he had a 12-pound dick. Did he not?
He did.
He did.
Guy's got a hammerhead.
Nick can confirm.
I can neither confirm nor deny.
I don't know what Vinatieri is going to tell us, but I promise it's going to be a conversation you're going to want to hear from the most clutch human in sports history. I think that is something that is incredible, that title. It's true, and he's one of my best friends. So I can't wait to chat with him. I hope you come watch. We'll highlight some of our interns' videos, I think. I haven't seen any of them. I have no idea if any of them are good. Who knows? But it should be a fun show. Wednesday night, live at 9. Thanks for tuning in. We will see you Thursday from Stamford, Connecticut, in the greatest city on earth, Indianapolis, Indiana. This is the Pat McAfee Show. Thanks for listening.